Good morning. Good to hear all the talking and fellowship this morning, but it's time to get started. We'd like to welcome all of our members and visitors, and we ask each of you please fill out attendance cards, place in the pew in front of them, and some of the young men will come by and pick those up at a later time. We want to continue to pray for those that are sick, grieving, and shut in. There will be an elders and deacons meeting next Sunday, 3 p.m., followed by a men's meeting at 4 p.m. All ladies are invited to a baby girl shower honoring the Johnson family next Sunday, January 9th, from 2:30 to 4 p.m. in the family room. Hostess will be shower team number 3, registered at Walmart and Amazon. 49ers class meet in the auditorium this morning. Have a card to read. It says, "Thank you. I would like to thank all the ladies' Bible class for the delicious ham you gave to my family. It was greatly appreciated. In Christian love, Patsy Pitts." If there are no other announcements, we'll begin our services.
If you would, please stand. Number 549. Good morning. There is sunshine in my soul today, more glorious and bright than glows in any earthly sky, for Jesus is my light.
Oh, the sunshine, blessed sunshine, while the peaceful, happy moments roll, when Jesus shows his smiling face, there is sunshine in my soul.
Same sighting, number 548. 548.
I have found a friend in Jesus. He's everything to me. He's the fairest of 10,000 to my soul. The
Sorry.
Sing number 543. After this song, we'll have the opening prayer. 543.
Sing them over again to me, wonderful words of life. Let me more than beauty see, wonderful words of life. Words of life.
Kind and gracious Heavenly Father, we come before you at this time, thanking you for this another Lord's Day that you bless us with, for allowing us to come together here to worship you and to serve you today. Father, we're so thankful for the new year, the new outlook, the new opportunities that we have in front of us, and we just pray that we would take this time and allow ourselves to grow and to become stronger Christians, better examples for you. And Father, just pray that we could work to lead others to you this year. Father, we're so thankful for this congregation that worships here and for the good works that are done. And just ask, Father, that you would always be with this congregation. Help us to remain strong and to continue to do the things to help your kingdom grow and to prosper. Father, we're thankful for the elders as they lead this congregation, for the deacons as they work, and for the ministers, for Austin and John and their work here also. Just pray that you would bless each of them and be with them, help them have a long service in your life. Father, we want to thank you for our country and just pray that you would be with it and strengthen it and help us to once again become a God-fearing nation like this country was founded upon, and bless us and help us to become stronger. Father, we're mindful of the sick, those that are members here, and family members and just ask that you would be with each of them, care for them especially, and if it's your will, just ask that you would bring them back to a portion of their health and comfort them and their needs. Father, just ask to be with those that have lost loved ones also and be with them. Father, we just ask that you would be with us through the furtherance of this service and ask that you would forgive us of any sin that we have in our life. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.
We'll now sing number 186. To help prepare our minds for the Lord's Supper, do notice that towards the very end of the song, it has a four-beat rest where we keep silent.
Additional brief moment was for you
to get your mind right. Now this is the time where we do get serious. I'm going to read two passages. One is from the Old Testament and one is from the New Testament. If you want to follow along with me, I urge you to turn there in your Bibles to Exodus chapter 12. Because I want us to take the time to read this, and then we'll turn to Matthew 26 and read from the New Testament as well. So to help prepare our minds, I want us to read from the book of law, and I want us to feel the implications that come with following the law, and I also want us to feel the significance of what we do today and why we do what we do today. Exodus 12, the Lord said to Moses and Aaron in the land of Egypt, "This month shall be for you the beginning of months. It shall be the first month of the year for you. Tell all the congregation of Israel that on the 10th day of this month, every man shall take a lamb according to their father's houses, a lamb for a household. And if the household is too small for a lamb, then he and his nearest neighbor shall take according to the number of persons, according to what each other shall eat, can eat. You shall make your count for the lamb. Your lamb shall be without blemish, a male a year old. You may take it from the sheep or from the goats, and you shall keep it until the 14th day of this month. When the whole assembly of the congregation of Israel shall kill their lambs at twilight," Verse 7, "then they shall take some of the blood and put it on the two doorposts and the lintel of the house in which they eat it. They shall eat the flesh that night, roasted on the fire, with unleavened bread and bitter herbs they shall eat it. Do not eat any of it raw or boiled in water, but roasted, its head with its legs and its inner parts. And you shall let none of it remain until morning. Anything that remains until morning you shall burn. In this manner you shall eat it, with your belt fastened, your sandals on your feet, and your staff in your hand, and you shall eat it in haste. It is the Lord's Passover. For I will pass through the land of Egypt that night, and I will strike all firstborn in the land of Egypt, both man and beast. And on all the gods of Egypt I will execute judgments. I am the Lord. The blood shall be a sign for you on the houses where you are. And when I see the blood, I will pass over you, and no plague will befall you or destroy you when I strike the land of Egypt. This day shall be for you a memorial day, and you shall keep it as a feast to the Lord throughout your generations, as a statute forever. You shall keep it as a feast. 7 days you shall eat unleavened bread. On the first day you shall remove leaven out of your houses, for if anyone eats what is leavened from the first day until the seventh day, that person shall be cut off from Israel. On the first day you shall hold a holy assembly, and on the seventh day a holy assembly. No work shall be done on those days, but what everyone needs to eat, that alone may be prepared by you. And you shall observe the feast of unleavened bread, for on this very day I brought your hosts out of the land of Egypt. Therefore you shall observe this day throughout your generations as a statute forever. Now I read from Matthew chapter 26, verse 26. Now, as they were eating, Jesus took bread, and after blessing it, broke it, and gave it to the disciples, and said, "Take and eat. This is my body." And he took a cup, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink of it, all of you, for this is my blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many for the forgiveness of sins. I tell you, I will not drink again of this fruit of the vine until that day when I drink it new with you in my Father's kingdom." Very powerful scriptures there. And when I read from Exodus and Deuteronomy and the Gospel of Matthew, and we partake of the Lord's Supper, it just reminds me of how significant today truly is that we're commanded to partake of it. And one of the things that we're supposed to do while we partake of the Lord's Supper is we're specifically told to examine ourselves. And the idea that I just want you to think about before we partake of this memorial service, we're doing some work on my house right now, right? Many hands have been involved in it. Those of you who know are cringing right now because of all the hard labor you've had to do. But Hunter was volunteering his time recently, and we got to the bathroom, and we're working on the subfloor, and the plywood looks fine on the outside. And he asked me, we come to this deciding factor, he said, "Do you want me to tear it up?" And I was like, yeah, let's go ahead and tear it up. Pulls off the sheet of plywood that looks seemingly fine, and underneath it is nothing but rot, all underneath it. So there's a huge hole, so don't go in the bathroom. You'll fall straight through to the basement. But here's the point of this. Sometimes we're that way. When we come here to this place to gather together, we see each other, we look nice, we're dressed nice. But when you start pulling back the layers, maybe there's a little bit of rot within us. On the outside, we're clean, but maybe inside of us, somewhere deep down, there's a small place in our house that has a lot of rot within us. And the only way to go about that is to take care of it, to peel back those layers, to cut it away. In the same way, the same thing I think is expected of us as we partake of the Lord's Supper and we're commanded to partake of this, is to truly examine yourself. Go deeper than just the surface of showing up and looking nice. What's inside of you that you need to repent of this year that's holding you back from your greatest potential and your greatest relationship with God? Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for this time. We thank you that you allow us to gather together and partake of this supper that's so special, unique, and meaningful, Father. From the days of old until now, Lord, we've been told to follow your ways that we'll find truth and life. And we know that this holds true, Father. So as we partake of this bread that symbolizes the body of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, Father, I pray that we do it in a spirit of truth and meaning, and we hold it to a high importance, Lord, and that we examine ourselves and that we're honest with ourselves and you of what we need to give up, whether it be sin or pain or hurt. And Lord, to realize that we're not perfect, but we also need to strive to be like you, holy and perfect and clean. Please be with us, and in Christ's name we pray. Amen. Let's pray. And Lord, we also thank you for the blood that was shed, Father, that washes us white as snow, that cleanses us and purifies us, and Father, that when we come in contact with the blood, that our sins are removed as far as the east is from the west. And Lord, we ask for your mercy, we ask for your grace, and your never-ending love. Please forgive us of our many sins. Please forgive us for missing the mark and our shortcomings, Lord, and help us to be more like you. Lord, we love you and we thank you so much for what you did and what you are doing and what you will do in the future, Father. As we partake of this, we ask and hope that this is in a worthy manner. And in Christ's name we pray. Amen. As a time of convenience, we'll offer the prayer for the contribution. Let's pray. Lord, at this time, we pray that the contribution will be in a worthy manner, Lord, and that the hands of those who handle the money that's collected will handle it in an honorable way, Father. And we also know that it's important for each of us to be giving and generous as you have been so generous to us. So as we give back in our various ways, whether it be money and time or whatever unique gift it is that people bring, Father, I pray that we'll set aside the first fruits to give to you and that you'll help us all to be more generous and cheerful givers, Lord. We love you, and in Christ's name we pray. Amen.
If you'd like, you mark in your books, number 924 will be Song of Invitation at the appropriate time. We'll now sing number 831, 831. If you would, please stand and remain standing for the scripture reading. In the field, how the wheel, sickle, frame, and true, in the bike or the ride, I would dare and do, spend my days in my bread, all the journey through, let me live, blessed each day. Let me live close to thee, guide me on the way. Not a crown, no.
Good morning.
If you'd like to take your Bibles out and turn with me to 1 Thessalonians chapter 3, I'll be reading from verses 11 through 13. Now may our God and Father himself and our Lord Jesus direct our way to you, and may the Lord make you increase and abound in love for one another and for all as we do for you, so that he may establish your hearts blameless in holiness before our God and Father at the coming of our Lord Jesus with all his saints. Please be seated.
A couple of things. It's always neat to be amongst celebrities like Bill Morrison here. That was pretty fascinating to see his picture put there in the newspaper.
There we go. I think that's going in and out. Yep. All right. No worries.
Also, this Bible, it's called the People's New Testament with Notes. If it's yours, it was left over here. This is not a cheap book. And I just want someone to have this, not just because it costs a lot, but it also provides a lot for people, both in Scripture and in good commentary. So this is Johnson's The People's New Testament with Notes. If that's yours, I'm just going to leave it right up here. You can come get that after worship. This is from Amy Coates, and I received this right before our worship time. I want to have a special prayer for her mother and for her father. And as she gave it to me, I'd like to read an update on their situation physically. Her mother's name, Miss Barbara Jane Smith. She's been dealing with Parkinson's and dementia, but they also found out that she also now has diverticulitis. And so she is in some serious pain and has been dealing with a lot recently. So I want to make sure, and I'm going to lead us in a prayer for Miss Barbara Jane Smith. And Amy's father, Bobby, has something called MDS, myelodysplastic syndrome. They found this out a couple weeks ago, December the 22nd. It's a form of cancer. And so I'm going to lead us in a prayer for Barbara and Bobby. She asked that we do that in a special way today. So if you would, let's just pause. Let's pray for what's on the heart of our sister. Holy God, we pray, understanding and acknowledging how you are in control of all things, at the sound of your voice, the whole world and its universe was put into motion and existence. The result of the choice of two people in the garden caused sin to come into the world. And at that moment, mankind fell. The perfect creation suffers now. As Paul said in Romans, as you know, Lord, even creation groans and longs to be released from the slavery that it is in. That is the slavery of sin. And so we as people experience that slavery. And while we praise you for your rescue and the redemption from our sin to be set free, we also deal with the consequences, and that is sickness and pain. And so for Miss Barbara and Bobby, we pray for them in their sickness and pain. We do pray that it gets better. But while we wish and hope for things, we acknowledge and understand that we do not hope in the flesh, but our hope is in the Spirit, and as it is in Christ. And we pray that in the midst of this pain, that the Spirit of Christ and your presence will comfort and provide endurance and peace in the storm for Amy, Danny, and that family. We offer this prayer in Jesus' name. Amen. This Sunday, there we go. This particular Sunday, the Sunday following Christmas and our New Year's holiday, it's always enjoyable Because people come in with this refreshed sense of newness. Maybe it's that new article of clothing that you're wearing, which makes, you know, head up high, chest stuck out, you're feeling a little bit better. Those new shoes that these aren't new shoes, but if you were me, you'd stand over the edge of the stage as I scare you each week doing. New things are exciting. Maybe not just new physical things, but even a sense of newness. We got to spend several days in Kentucky with my family. And as exhausting as that was, we do feel refreshed being able to go and be in Kentucky. For the record, I love my family, but there are many small children. And with many small children, there is quite a bit of running, screaming, crying, complaining, and a whole lot of fun. There's a lot of newness there. So while I was in Kentucky, I was able to worship with my family at the Richmond Church and was able to see a lot of people that I haven't seen in a while. One particular family, the husband's name is Tim Ross. And if he's watching this in recorded version, he's going to get a kick out of this, I guess. He is the associate dean of the School of Aviation at Eastern Kentucky University. EKU is one of the leading universities to train pilots in the state of Kentucky. It's fascinating. Well, I babysat his children. He has a son who's the oldest child, who's now works for the EMS, and then has three girls to follow. Boom, boom, boom. And so they're all about the same height. They kind of stair-step just a little bit. They're just within a few years of each other. I babysat these kids. And it is crazy to see them having grown up now. And three of them having graduated college. The youngest one, the baby, is driving. And she looks like a grown-up. It's insane to see that increase of age and the growth that comes with it. So while back in that corner, having that conversation, speaking with one of the girls who I babysat, she was giving me an update on life and relationships, as girls are anxious to do. Her new love, right? So she was telling me about her dad, advice that he gave in dating. And I'm more keenly aware of this because our baby girl's coming in a month and I've got to get all the fatherly advice for the little girls. And she says, you know, Dad gave me a lot of advice to listen to. Be smart when dating, she said. But one piece of advice was this. Never, do not ever date someone preparing to be a pilot. And guess what? Yep, her new thing is a pilot to be. Sorry, Tim, if you're watching. Got me thinking about aviation, flying, that whole world. What it must be like to have that thing in the palm of your hands. And not just a large object, but even more importantly, the lives that are in your hands. I couldn't imagine it. I love flying, but I would not like to fly the plane. Think about modes of transportation. You know, there are some of you in here who love to fly, who do it regularly, and it's just a yawn and a bore. And to other people, you see that plane, your heart is already starting to palpitate. You are probably missed one at this point, and your anxiousness is growing within you. Maybe you have a trip coming up, which you have to board the plane. You're like, ugh, that's the exact thing I don't want to see right now. Maybe you've just gotten back from a plane ride, and you're like, all right, that's the last one I ever want to go on. Planes. They're a bit of a nerve-wracking thing. Other modes of transportation. Cars, old hat. Horse and buggy. Have you driven through southern Tennessee, Lawrenceburg, Etheridge area recently? You see a horse and buggy quite often. Up in Kentucky, eastern Kentucky, there's a bunch of ATVs. We were driving home through southern Tennessee. We saw a line of these massive dune buggies. I don't know where they were, but I know what they were doing. Modes of transportation. Even down to just the horse itself. I was thinking about the similarities and differences between these modes of transportation. There are a lot of similarities. But do you know what the main difference is between all of these is? Horse and buggy, ATV, car, airplane. Here's the main difference between a plane and all the rest. You can stop all the others and put it in reverse. But if you're up in a plane, there's no stopping and there's no reverse. What is the only direction and the only motion that is positive for an airplane? To increase. To go and to grow. Increase speed, increase altitude, increase wind. Increase is the only safe motion for an airplane, to go and to grow. And I want to take that word and use it for us at this new year time in 2022. A word that I want you to have in your mind is to increase. For us to go and to grow is to increase. I believe in 1 Thessalonians chapter 3, verses 11 to 13, that's the text that we're going to look at. You'll see our word increase. And specifically within the text of 11 and 12, that increasing our faith is the key to holiness. And in the beginning of this new year, I think we're setting goals. We want to decrease weight and increase healthiness. Well, I want us to increase not just our health. I don't want us just to increase our happiness. I want us to increase our holiness. I think we should hold holiness in higher regard than happiness. As a matter of fact, I think God cares more about our holiness than our happiness. And sometimes people get it flipped upside down, that if I'm happy, then I must be holy. Wrong. As a matter of fact, with God and with Christianity, and the true reality of our faith is that when we are holy, it's only then that we can become happy. Amen? Say it, church. So I want us to increase our holiness this year. And it begins with what Paul told the church at Thessalonica in 1 Thessalonians chapter 3, verses 11, 12, and 13. As Hunter read so well, this is a prayer, this is a wish, maybe even a word of sentiment that Paul gives to the for the Christians there in deep relationship for their increase, for their growth. Remember with the plane? To go and to grow. Increase is the only way to make it happen. Look at the text again. Now may our God and Father himself and our Lord Jesus direct our way to you. And may the Lord make you increase and abound in love. Abound is another word for overflowing with love for one another and for all as we do for you. So that he may do what? As we increase, here's the result of our increase. So that he may establish your hearts blameless in what? In holiness. Before our God and Father at the coming of our Lord Jesus with all his saints. Increase. The only way to go and to grow. Holiness. So here's where it begins. Notice what Paul said. Now may our God and Father himself and our Lord Jesus direct our way to you. So as Paul wrote this letter to the Christians at Thessalonica, and if you're looking back into Acts, he visited the city of Thessalonica and the church there on a second of three missionary journeys. It's in Acts chapter 17. And so Paul, Silvanus, and Timothy, writing this letter to the Christians in Thessalonica, have a deep relationship. Multiple times in chapters 1 and 2, he said, I desire to come to you. I want to come and see you. He even says at one point, face to face. There's something different when Christians can be together face to face. I would encourage you to always be in the gathering of the Christian, of our family here face to face. Sunday morning, let me encourage you to come back every Sunday night as we gather together to have more face to face interaction with God's people. But he wanted to. Paul, Silvanus, and Timothy desired and longed to come face to face. But they couldn't. And I find this very interesting. It's very similar to the Roman letter. Paul said, I desired and I longed to see you to the Christians in Rome. He was even making his pathway to go to Rome before he was ultimately caught, arrested, and deterred from that plan. He wanted to go to Thessalonica again. He went there in a second missionary journey. But the Great opposition grew against the Jews that he was trying to reach to convert to Christianity. And so he had to get out of Dodge. He had to get out of town. And so leaving and getting away from all that persecution, he wrote the letter, said, I want to come back. I want to see you. I want to be with you to encourage you, to help you grow your faith. And notice how he said he hopes to come back, by what power he was going to come back. In verse 11, it was through the power of God, the Father, and Jesus Christ. I think this is a mindset Paul had that I want us to adopt as we're looking to increase our faith. A mindset of God is providentially guiding our life. There was an old sailor who kept going out to sea and getting lost. He would make his way back to somewhere, but ultimately he would get lost. And his friends caught on to this. A 3-week trip took 3 months. A 2-month trip took 6 months. A 6-month trip took 2 years. He was known for this. As a matter of fact, couldn't get a crew because of how poor he was with direction. And so his friends got together and said, listen, here is a compass for you to have to direct your way. He said, why do I need this compass? I get back eventually. I said, no, you need the compass. So he took the compass in hand, sailing out to sea on another voyage. He got back. And guess what? 2 months late. I said, what in the world? Why did you not use the compass? He said, I used the compass. But no matter how hard I shook it, or how much I tried to point it, it would never go north. And I knew I needed to go north. And every time I tried to shake it to make it go north, it kept saying southeast. So I threw it aside. You see, he knew what was best for himself, even down to the direction he was heading, even though he was wrong. Sometimes we think we know where we're going, and we think we know what we should be doing. And we believe in our hearts that we deserve this or that. And in reality, God might be providentially guiding us down a different path. Paul wanted to go to Thessalonica. He had a great desire to be with the Christians and see them face to face. But God's providential guidance caused him to go elsewhere. To my knowledge, I don't think Paul made it back to Thessalonica. And you know what? That's okay, because he kept working, sacrificing, and serving, and bringing people to Christ. So here's my statement to us, to those of us watching here live or later on the recording. If you are somebody who is continually dwelling in the past, or maybe staying depressed about the present because you thought that you would have this at some point in your life, or you regret that you didn't do that at a previous point in your life, or you saw your life going down one path as if this is plan A, but now all of a sudden I'm having to live out plan B, or maybe even worse, plan C? Well, let me give you an update. With God, there is no plan B or C. It's always the plan that God is providentially providing for you, that in any circumstance and in every situation, whether you like where you're at, you're upset with where you're at, you regret what you weren't involved in, or you thought your life would pan out differently, guess what? God is still providing for you. So it's time to lift up your head, straighten and strengthen your knees, the Hebrew writer says, and open up your eyes to the providential guidance of our God. It's time to increase. Don't dwell on the past, depressed about the present, but eagerly anticipate a providentially provided future in a relationship with our Lord. That's how you grow. That's how you go towards holiness. You accept that God knows what's best. And that's what Paul was trying to get into the mind of the Thessalonian Christians. May God and our Father himself and our Lord Jesus direct our way to you, and may the Lord make you increase. And just as Paul wished it for the Thessalonians, I wish this upon us. I bless this upon us. And I want to pray for us in this area that God would cause us as a church family to increase. And now increasing is one of two things here that Paul says. He says, may the Lord make you increase and abound in love. I think those are two different things. I want to touch on both briefly. First off, with the increasing. I think increasing has to do directly with our faith. And I get that because of the whole of the letter of 1 Thessalonians. First off, before I go back and read a couple of verses, listen to this statement I wanted to write out. When it comes to increasing our faith, which is what I believe increase is all about, listen to me. I believe that contentment and comfort are the enemies of spiritual growth. And to increase requires a determination of the mind, body, and soul to resist what is easy and to push oneself to increase. Now, we've got to push past certain things. It feels like 107 degrees in this auditorium today. You got to push past that, all right? I am burning up. I don't think the heater worked a couple weeks ago, so we're making up for that week today. That's what's going on. Whoever's in charge of that, I'm sorry. You always have the hardest job. It's always too cold or always too hot. Some people are fanning. Some people have blankets. Let's push past it. We're increasing our faith today. We're seeing it as Paul said it in 1 Thessalonians chapter 3. But look back in chapter 2 with me if you would. I want you to read some words from Scripture with me. 1 Thessalonians 2 verse 8. Paul says, so, being affectionately desirous of you, he said, we were ready to share with you not only the gospel of God, but also our own selves, because you had become very dear to us. As I read these verses, I want you to remember, this is Paul, separated from a group of people he loves. They didn't have FaceTime. They couldn't text, snap, tweet, or whatever other word goes on in our current day and age. He had a right. Maybe he wrote at night at his desk under candlelight, an ink quill with an earnest heart. And I'm seeing and I'm sensing in my mind a longing he had to be with these Christians. And put your mind there. He said, for you remember, brothers, our labor and toil. We worked night and day that we might not be a burden to any of you while we proclaimed to you the gospel of God. And you are witnesses, and God also, how holy and righteous and blameless was our conduct toward you believers. For you know how like a father with his children, we exhorted each one of you and encouraged you and charged you to walk in a manner worthy of God, who calls you into his own kingdom and to his glory. And we also thank God constantly for this, that when you received the word of God, and I love this verse, listen to it. When you received the word of God, which you heard from us, you accepted it not as the word of men, but as what it really is. What is it? It's the word of God, which is at work in you, believers. They heard the word spoken from men, but knew it wasn't from man, but rather from God. Skip on down to chapter 3, verse 1. He said, therefore, when we could not bear it any longer, because they were torn away, they had to leave town. When we couldn't bear it any longer, we were willing to be left behind at Athens alone, and we sent Timothy, our brother, and God's co-worker in the gospel of Christ, to establish and exhort you in your what? Verse 2, in your faith, that no one be moved by these afflictions, for you yourselves know that we are destined for this. So Paul on multiple occasions is saying, here's how you increase your faith. It's the word of God. It's the gospel of Christ. If you want your faith to increase, pay attention, dive into, and increase your understanding of the word of God. Verse 6. But now that Timothy has come to us from you and has brought us the good news of what? Your faith and your love, and reported that you always remember us kindly and long to see us as we long to see you. For this reason, brothers, in all of our distress and affliction, we've been comforted about you through your what? Faith. He wanted to add to their faith. How did he add to their faith? How did their faith increase? It was increasing through the word of God and encouragement from fellow Christians. Now the air conditioning kicked on. I don't know if someone did that or the Lord provided it, but thank you. That's too much for me to not mention. Church, I want this to be a great year for you. We may not have the year. Something may happen, or Jesus may return. But we feel new today. And I feel like I'm reading off a sermon of words I prepared previously, but I want you to know this is communicated from the heart of God, and I think He wants it to sit within each heart today. It's time for us to increase. It happens together. Paul knew the greatest source of encouragement he could give, if not face-to-face presence, it's a deeper understanding of God's holy word. That's how God works within each one of us. It's almost like the apostles in Luke chapter 17, verse 5, when they said, increase our faith, as if they desired it and they longed for it. At the end of that phrase, there's an exclamation mark because they exclaim the phrase, we want to grow. That's the only way to go and to grow is towards holiness is to increase faith. So how do you do it? Well, that's when Jesus in Luke chapter 17 took him to the mustard seed. And there's this image and this idea of the mustard seed. And the thought is, I think Jesus might be saying that even small faith in a great God is sufficient. Your faith doesn't have to look like the redwoods of the West Coast. It can be like the speck of a mustard seed, because it's not about the greatness of your faith, but the greatness of our God. And so stop thinking small about yourself. If your faith is small, well then Christian, work to cause it to increase. How? In knowledge of the Word and study of the Word by being together with Christians. There was a tribal group in a third world country. They didn't have fancy buildings with heat when it was too cold or air conditioning when it was too hot. All they had was what God created and put around them was dirt and earth and tree and field. And so this tribal country I read about this weekend, they would have these paths into the field. They would walk through the waist and chest high weeds and grass as it blew through the wind. And they would go to their each own individual private place of prayer. Here's what I find so fascinating about this highly religious, spiritually minded place. Each person had a path. And the level of health and faith of each individual could simultaneously be indicated by how beaten down the path was on their way to their private place. When a member of the tribal family grew calloused, cold, weak in faith, you know what the tribal group did? They went to their path and they said, look here, brother. Look here, sister. Your path has grown up. It's no accident that your faith has become weak. Go. Beat down that path. Faith doesn't just accidentally or haphazardly weaken. It also doesn't accidentally or haphazardly grow. But intentionally, as people are devoted to the path of righteousness and devotion to God, being face to face with God's people, diving into the Word, and remembering, it's never been about how great my faith is, but about how great my God is. Even small faith in a great God, I believe Jesus is saying, is sufficient. Remember in Romans chapter 10, verse 7, that faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Grow and increase faith, abounding in love. I think one way we can abound in love is that we're together. We're speaking words of kindness. We're looking for opportunities to show how much we appreciate one another in this walk and journey of faith. And we do all this for a purpose. All of this happens so that, verse 13, and I love the phrase, anytime you see a word so that, or therefore, or now because of, you're looking to what happened previously, connecting it to what's happening in the future. That's how you study Scripture. So in verse 13, when in your Bible you see so that, or therefore, what you need to do in your mind is what God has done in verse 12 is what will result in verse 13. So if God has increased faith, has caused us to abound in love, we will receive the result of verse 13, which is this: so that God may establish your hearts blameless in holiness before our God and Father at the coming of our Lord Jesus with all his saints. Holiness. Holiness is what we ought to regard at a much greater place than happiness. Holiness is what we ought to regard at a much greater place than even health. There's this little animal that lives in cold climates. It looks like a furry white-tailed weasel is what I think. It's called an ermine. I don't know if you've read about this animal or seen it, and I'm sorry for all you people who think animals are humans, and if they suffer, it's tough. I don't like animals to suffer, but this is not a happy story. They actually have brown coats in the warm climate. But when the green fades and the snow comes, this beautiful animal sheds its brown coat and puts on this beautiful white coat, pure as can be. This ermine values the purity of its white coat to such a degree that hunters have figured out how to catch them. Instead of laying traps out in the wild, instead of standing up in trees or walking through the field looking to shoot or to trap or to catch, what they do is they find their burrows, oftentimes in the cleft of a rock or in a hillside. Hunters go to these burrows and they take filth and grime and dirt and they rub it all around the entrance to the burrow. They coat the entrance with nastiness. Because what do they know? This animal values purity more than anything else. After finding the burrow, coating it in garbage and filth, they send their dogs out. Burr, 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 burr. And that's when the ermine starts to scatter. And what does it do? It goes straight for home, because home is safety. That's where life is. Life is in my home. Except for when it gets back. What does it see? That to enter into the home where I can live will mean I have to stain and mar the purity of my coat. What does this animal do? It stops and sits and lets the dog take its life, because it values purity even over life itself. We ought to value holiness even over life itself. Our Lord and Savior valued your soul even over his life, which is why he died on the cross for you, which is why he gives you an opportunity to go and to grow and increase your faith today. And I challenge you to uphold holiness, even if it's over happiness, health, or life itself, because of what your Savior did. So, that he may establish your hearts blameless before our God and Father. And I urge you to do this before the coming of our Lord Jesus with all his saints. If we can help you in any way pursue holiness in Christ, it is why we exist and is what God freely offers in this new year, to be made new, whether washed in the blood or cleansed in the overflow as a Christian who's come home. We want to help you. Let's stand up and sing a song of invitation together.
Come to thee, O Lamb of God.
Packers again happens tonight out of Porterfield tonight.
Number 405, and we do have classes available after our worship. If you need to know where to go, ask someone around. Hopefully we can get you headed to the right place. 405.
It may be in the valley where comes the stages high. It may be in the sunshine that I in peace abide. But this one thing I know, if it be dark or fair, if Jesus is with me, I'll go anywhere. If Jesus goes with me, I'll go anywhere. 'Tis heaven to me wherever.
Worship you freely, Lord. We ask that you please be with us as we go to our classes, Lord. Please help us to kind of focus on your word. And Lord, we ask that you please be with the teachers, and we thank you for everything that they've done to prepare, Lord. Lord, we ask that you please be with us as we go throughout this week and this new year, Lord. We ask that you help us to show the light of Christ to those around us and help to us to bring more to your church, Lord. And most of all, we thank you for your Son who died on the cross for our sins. And it's in his name that we pray. Amen.